words together each week. Where do I see the Christ in our readings? What do I learn about God? And how will this change me? And those are three questions we will consider as we go through our study tonight. We will, in our readings this week so far, we've been reading in John chapter 6, Matthew 15, Mark 7, Matthew 16, Mark 8, and Luke chapter 9. We're going to focus mostly tonight, at least in the remarks that I prepared and the study that I prepared, in John chapter 6. But you're certainly welcome to bring out things that were meaningful to you in the rest of the readings as well. So we will get into that in just a minute here. Brother Greg, would you lead us in a prayer before we... So I want to go ahead and start tonight by reading from John chapter 6. We're going to read about the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to read about Jesus' statement that he is the bread of life. And we're going to focus a little on that tonight. John chapter 6, verse 1. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." And I'm going to pick up in verse 25. It says, "When they found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you were seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.' So they said to him, 'Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus then said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son of Man and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say now, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is God, is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So as we read through the Bible and we read the words of Jesus, I think it's very easy for me to quickly look at the imagery that Jesus uses and say, okay, Jesus is the bread of life. Great, great metaphor, Jesus. You know, I've got it. Move on. And if we're not careful, you know, we read through the Bible with the eyes of, you know, a 21st century American, and we don't put ourselves into the shoes of the original audience that heard those words, right? Jesus' words don't fall on my ears the way they fell on the ears of those listeners. Bread, right, and grain, and a culture built around the cultivation of grain and eating of bread, their relationship to bread is not anywhere near what my relationship to bread is today, right? I mean, think about when Jesus, what we've already read, Jesus talking about issues of bread and grain, and where have we seen it so far, just in our readings early on in the New Testament? Man shall not live by bread alone is what Jesus said to Satan when he was tempted. Where else have we seen it? The parable of the wheat and the tares. Where else? The parable of... Pardon? That's right. When he and his disciples are walking on the Sabbath, they're picking grain as they walk through. We had the parable of the sower. We had the parable of the seed growing, right? So constantly we have these references. Give us this day our daily bread, to bread, to grain, to sowing. It was a part of their culture in a way that it's not for us. Yeah, it's on. It says it is. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, to us, when you're looking down the bread aisle at the store, doesn't have quite that same meaning, right? I mean, yeah, cool metaphor, Jesus. You know, give me this daily bread. Yeah, I got it. I've been to the bread aisle. I know what that's all about. You know, and it's not just bread, just our relationship to food, right? I mean, I saw statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics says that the average American spends 37 minutes per day preparing their food. That's the average woman. The average man at 17 minutes. But, you know, the amount of time we spend working to get our bread, right, is very different. Bread's not even our meal, right? Bread is the free stuff that they bring you at Cracker Barrel while you're waiting for your real meal. It's not even... But for people in this time period, historians say that about 70% of their calories came from bread. Bread wasn't just a staple in their diet, you know, the way tacos are a staple in Jason's diet. You know, it was the staple. It was like the... And so, you know, meat was rare. It was for special occasions, right? I mean, not every day did you eat meat. You might have some figs. You might have some grapes turned into to raisins so that you could eat those while they're not spoiled. You might have, you know, a few things that are in season. You might have some beans. But by and large, you're eating bread. And you're not just eating bread, right? So these people are... I mean, many of them are sowing the seed that bread came from. Many of them are pulling the wheat from that bread, the tares from the wheat. Many of them are gathering that wheat. They're either because they own the field or because they've been hired to go out and harvest or because they've been allowed to glean in the field if they're a poor person. So they have that personal connection to the grain itself. And then after you've obtained the grain, right, we have the picture of the... this is actually an Egyptian, but I don't think it was different for the Israelites. What is she doing with the grain, right? She's got the millstone, the lower and upper millstone, and she is milling out that grain to make the flour. So if you want your daily bread and you're an Israelite, you're getting up in the morning and you are milling out that grain to make your flour. You're building your fire, right? You are creating the fire that the bread is going to cook on. You're then, you know, creating your dough. You're mixing it with the yeast from, you know, the last time you made bread. It's a laborious process that's taking up large portions of your day. So your relationship to bread is very different than my relationship to bread, where I'm trying to cut bread out of my life because it's giving me, you know, a big belly, a wheat belly that I don't want anymore. That's not the relationship they had to bread. It was what they depended on if they were going to live, right? And so you see in history, even in Roman history, right, riots when bread was not plentiful enough because of a bad harvest. You know, most of the city of Rome was on a daily ration from the government to get free grain because they couldn't produce enough. It was the way that they lived was bread. And so, you know, consider what it meant to them when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," compared to what it might mean to me just superficially if I don't spend some time thinking about that. You know, culturally, I mean, they were a people that for years had been these herders of livestock. But what did God say that he was going to do for them? "I'm going to plant you," right? He's finally going to give them their own land where they can enjoy the fruit of harvest. And so he gives them their land where he plants them, and he gives them these feasts, you know, the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of the First Fruits and the Feast of Booths, where they're celebrating this harvest of the grain. So it's part and parcel of everything they're all about is grain and the raising of grain and the making of bread that they did to survive. So think about their understanding of what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the bread of life." And now let's think for ourselves, is Jesus the bread of life to me in the way that he was to them, right? If I ignored Jesus for hours at a time, even for most of my day,
would I notice
that I've ignored Jesus? The bread of my life, that thing that I'm dependent upon, would I even notice if hours went by and I thought nothing of Jesus, if I made no attempts to be nourished by Him? Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do we have that sort of hunger? Do we have that desire to spend time in our relationship with Him? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 tells us to exhort one another daily, right? Lest we become hardened. So, we ought to be spending time daily, exhorting one another daily, having this relationship with Jesus, so that we can truly have Him as the bread of our life. And if a day goes by and I've thought nothing of my Lord, I should notice that, right? Do I make an effort each day to find Jesus? The way they made effort, right, to make that bread, it wasn't just go down to the store, pick out, your favorite brand and put it in the cart. It took effort. For Jesus to be the bread of our life, it's going to take some effort on our part. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, someone want to read that for us? Philippians 4. Anybody? Meditate on these things. Meditate on the things of God. Spend time, spend effort in establishing and maintaining the relationship with the bread of life. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 is a passage that we always think about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I struggle I don't think I'm getting everything that's meant by that, right? The significance of it. But I read another translation of it that really hit home with me. And this is from the Aramaic Bible in Basic English. And I don't know anything about, these controversies about whether the Bible was first in Aramaic and then translated to Greek. Some people believe that. And I don't know anything about that. But this, just the way they rendered this, really hit home for me. He says, therefore, faith is from the hearing ear, and the hearing ear is from the Word of God. Faith is from the hearing ear, and the hearing ear is from the Word of God. If you are going to have an ear to hear, if you are going to be someone who has faith, well, how do I have more faith? Well, you need to be someone who has an ear to hear. Well, how do you have an ear to hear? You listen to the Word of God. It's cyclical, right? So if I'm struggling in my faith, if I'm struggling, it's because I'm not in the Word. I'm not spending any time hearing that Word. If I would, I would have an ear to hear. And if I'd have an ear to hear, I'd have a greater faith. And it's all going to build on itself if I make that effort to touch, to spend this time establishing that relationship in the Word of God. Brother Devin.
Right.
And everyone learns differently. Some people, things are more effective, auditory. Some people are visual. But whatever it is, you need to be spending that time and not just, okay, yep, there's my 5 minutes of reading the Bible, I'm done, but really listening, really spending that effort to think, am I understanding this? Am I getting what God wanted me to get from this? Am I hearing this the way they would have heard it? Am I really appreciating the significance of what he's saying? Not just the meaning, but the significance and what it's going to do, as we've been trying to do all year. How is this going to change me? Our time with Jesus, with the bread of life, is going to take some effort for us to establish that relationship. Brother Larry. Right. So, you know, I've hidden your heart, your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. It's not just I read the word and moved on. I'm hiding the word in my heart. And I think, you know, does Jesus sustain and fuel my life? Right? These people, 70% of their calories came from bread. If they didn't have bread, they weren't going anywhere. Right? Jesus looks at these crowds who are hungry, who have no bread. They got nothing to fuel them. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to be sustained. Is that the way that Jesus is in our life? Is he the fuel that keeps us going? Is he, you know, the source of our strength? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We were already in Philippians chapter 4. It doesn't matter, you know, what the circumstances of my life are, if things are good or things are bad. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Jesus is the one who can strengthen us to overcome any challenges that we're facing. Any problems in our life, right? In the good times and the bad times, Jesus is what should be fueling us. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. Someone want to read that for us? Ephesians 3, 14 through 21.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ can dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth and strength of all with Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, in the glory of the Church of Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Is Jesus that for us? Does he dwell in our hearts through faith, strengthening us with power, you know, through his Spirit? Is that what sustains us in our life? Or is it something else? Is Jesus the bread of life for us? Does Jesus fully satisfy me? Fully satisfy me. It was funny to hear the Jews talking about to Jesus here. Well, our fathers had manna in the wilderness, right? So give us what you gave the fathers. Well, what did their fathers say when they got the manna? I'm sick of this manna. It's nothing but manna, manna, manna every day, right? They were bored with it, tired of the same old thing. And I think if we're not careful, you know, we can be the same way. Yes, Jesus is the bread of life, and I've had this bread for 40 years now, day after day after day. I want something new. I want something different. I want something that I haven't heard before. I want something, you know, that will tickle my ears. I want something that is not familiar to me. Are we fully satisfied with him and his word? Yeah.
Gospels, and we get to the point where we're through the Gospels, and
right. We read it in our readings this week. To whom shall I go? John 6:68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nothing else that we should look to satisfy us other than Him. He is the bread of life, and He should be the source of full satisfaction for us. He fills us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. Someone want to read that for us? Ephesians 1, 23.
Now the church as His body is the fullness of Him who fills all in all.
That's right. So the body of Christ, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. He fills everything. He should satisfy us completely. So here's a challenging one. Do I share Jesus with those whom I love? Do I share the bread of life with them? There's an interesting word, companion, right? Any French speakers? Where's Judy? Judy? Any other French? What does the word companion mean? Literally, comes from the French. Com means with, and pan is bread. Your companions are the people with whom you break bread. Your companions are the people with whom you share your bread. So here's our question. These friends, these companions, these neighbors, these people with whom I'm spending all this time, am I sharing my bread with them? Well, if I'm not sharing Jesus with my friends, then here's the problem. One of two things happen. They're not my friends, or Jesus isn't the bread of my life. He's not the bread of life to me if I'm not sharing that with them. There's a challenge for us. If Jesus is the bread of life, we're going to share that with our companions. So, you know, let's ask ourselves honestly, is Jesus the bread of life to us in the full sense that He meant it, or not? Soul searching, right? Thinking truly about who He is in our lives. Other things that you found significant in our readings this week. It was funny that bread obsession that they have. Jesus is there, right? And He's warning them about the Pharisees. What does He say to His disciples, to His apostles about the Pharisees? Beware of their leaven. And they think, oh, the bread. Okay, what? Something wrong with their bread? Are they, you know, there's something, like poisoning it? Are they not really emptying it in their house on the Sabbath? What's going on with the Pharisees and their bread? They're so centered on bread. It's just such a part of everything they're doing. And Jesus says, no, I'm not talking about their bread. I'm talking about their influence. And goes back to those themes that we had read in the Sermon on the Mount about the danger of the Pharisaical views of righteousness and what it means to serve God. What else did you notice in this week's readings? What did you learn about God? What did we see that would change us? Yeah. Okay, yeah, so if you didn't hear it, Judy's question was, you know, Jesus' statement in John chapter 6 about eating His flesh and drinking His blood, the meaning of what he has in mind here. As we talk to our friends and neighbors who are Catholic and who, you know, have this view of transubstantiation, that when one takes of the Eucharist, one is actually eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus. And how do we, you know, talk to them about this passage? To me, if you read this passage, everything else in here is figurative. So I don't know why this alone would be, you know, a literal meaning, whereas everything else in here that he's giving them is spiritual. It doesn't really ring true to me that because he said this, he meant truly that this would be a literal thing. I don't know if others of you have other thoughts of how you would address the meaning of that, and whether this has a bearing on. I don't even see this as being a reference to the supper at all. I think the point of what Jesus is saying here is that you internalize me. You have me living within you. I am fueling your life. I am the bread of your life. I am, you know, central to everything that you're doing. And so, you know, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, I am the source of your life. And it's your eternal life. What he's saying here has nothing to do with our earthly life. It has to do with he's giving them eternal life. He's giving them spiritual life. So why would it matter if I'm eating and drinking the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ if what I'm interested in here is not physical life? I'm interested in eternal life and spiritual life. Brother Tom. And, you know, he says of the one who feeds on him, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Well, if he's talking literal things here about, well, you've got to eat my physical bread, my physical body, and drink my physical blood so that you can, well, then are you living physically forever? I mean, it's clear that he's talking about a spiritual meaning here, not a physical meaning. So I don't know why, among all the things he said here, this would be the one part which he means to be interpreted literally. Any other thoughts on that, or other? Right. And the meaning of the parables, the meaning of these physical, you know, signs that he's doing are to put forward spiritual truths that have spiritual meaning and a spiritual life, eternal life, not physical life. Anything else from this week's readings? John chapter 6. Finish, since we didn't read this part. John chapter 6, starting in verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. So how many miracles do we see, you know, in this event of Jesus walking on the sea? They take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Right here they were in peril. Here they were fearful of the strong storms, and yet with Jesus present, they're delivered immediately. Right? And how many times does he tell his disciples, we're going to see this over and again, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What else did we see in this week's reading that helped us to understand better the nature of Jesus, the nature of his purpose, his mission? Right. 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 Yeah, and we've seen that repeatedly throughout our readings. Jesus controlling the timing. Jesus, you know, not allowing other people to dictate to him how things are going to go. You know, another one we might read through real quickly tonight before we wrap up. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. You know, we've talked a lot about how from the moment Jesus came to earth, we started to see revelations that the kingdom was going to be open to all. The kingdom was not just for the Jews. And then we come to this one. Matthew 15:21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. How does this reading fit in with the stuff we've been talking about, of these constant revelations that the kingdom is for everyone, not just for the Jews?
Joining in his analogy and you turning in it
later going to tell a parable about persistent widow, right? You know, she reminds me of this. But I'm going to keep knocking. And even if you're not opening, I'm going to keep knocking because I know who you are. I almost wonder if Jesus is just testing her, you know, in this statement that seems harsh, right? I mean, dogs? I mean, are you really going to say this, Jesus? I don't know if it was just to reveal how much faith does this person truly have. And she showed she still had that faith. Yes? Right. And when she shows it, he recognizes it, as he has done repeatedly already that we've seen. If he sees faith within a Gentile, he's going to praise that faith and recognize it, even if the Jews are offended by it. Yes, Robert. Right. 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 Good point. Yes, Debbie. Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Anything else tonight? I think John's got his finger on the bell. Last chance. Thank you all very much.